Well, Martin, thanks for the lesson again. He pretty well said most of it the same as he did 2 weeks ago. So we were together at Satara 2 weeks ago. And good lesson. Good lesson for us, not just for the children. Good lesson for us as adults as well. As we think about the devil and what he wants us to believe and the things he wants us to believe, I could see his thumb a little better this time. He tricked us. He tricked me pretty good last time, but I knew where he was stuffing it tonight. But it's a good lesson to think about as we think about the devil and what he is trying to do. My subject this evening is the Sunday morning free will offering. And as I thought about that, I thought, what am I going to say about the Sunday morning free will offering? Other than, it's if the deacon's supposed to fulfill his responsibilities, there needs to be an offering Sunday morning so that he can pay the electric bill, so that the lights are on, and get Sunday school books and other things. So the Sunday morning free will offering, there's something about that as I studied, and I have some different points here, and then I have some at the end ways to give. And I seen on your up front here, it says, God loveth a cheerful giver. And that is very true. God loves a cheerful giver. And if we want to experience the blessings of the Sunday morning offering and of giving and what that signifies as part of the worship service, we need to do it with we need to be a cheerful giver. So I think that's important. So first of all, I want to start in Psalm 50. I'm going to look at a few scriptures, not going to make a lot of reference about the scripture. These scriptures, but I want to read several different ones here. And I have two points that I want to start with, principles that we need to, how we look at the things that God has entrusted into our care. And the first one is that as a Christian, we need to recognize that God is the owner of all. God is the owner of everything that he has entrusted into our care. It is his. And then the second principle is that since we're his children, we are then stewards of that. And we're going to look at that, a few references here. Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. That's speaking about that everything is God's. He doesn't need to ask us if he was hungry. I would not tell thee, for the world is mine. It's his. The cattle on 1,000 hills, the fowls of the mountains, the wild beasts, they're all his. In Haggai 2, verse 8, it says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Now another verse here, so Psalm 24, verse 1. We have the silver, we have the gold, we have the cattle, we have all the different things listed so far. And then in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So what's left out of what is in the world, what's left for us? So I think we need to conclude that God owns everything. And that is the point here, that God owns everything. So he is the owner of all. Now, we are his stewards. We are his children, and we're called to be stewards. We're called to be of the blessing, of his blessings to us. We are stewards of the things that he entrusts into our care. It could be property, could be finance, it could be household affairs, different things. So a steward is a representative for the owner, which is God. You know, we have a representative. We'll have representatives from the United States that live in other countries, and they are to represent what the U.S., what the things that happen in the U.S. and the things that the U.S. wants to do. So they're there in a foreign country as a representative. Well, that's kind of how we are as stewards. We're a representative here in this country, in this world, but our owner, the God is the owner of everything. So we are here as housekeepers. We are here as stewards involved in the God's purposes, what he has designed, what he has for us, what he wants us to do. And we need to understand that. We need to understand what our role is in fulfilling the purpose that God has us for, has us here for, and that is to bring honor and glory to God, not to bring honor to ourselves, not to be selfish, but so we are to be stewards. And stewardship is not an option. It's a command and it's a responsibility that we have. Therefore, we need to take care of these things as a steward with a grateful heart, with an attitude of joy. Turn to Galatians. We'll look at a couple of verses here in relation to this point. Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10 says that, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." This evening, as we look at the Sunday morning free will offering, we want to look at the, as a congregation, our involvement as a congregation, and how we as stewards can contribute to the congregation. So we are, it says here, we are to do, as we have opportunity, we are to do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, or especially to the local congregation, the local body of believers, and that is where our first obligation is. And we need to do that cheerfully and gratefully. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And that could be of finances, that could be of our time, could be of our talents, of our abilities. It could be various things that we are to be accountable for that. Now go to Proverbs 3, two verses there. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Wait, I want it verse 9 first. "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." As we honor the Lord with our substance, with the things that he has entrusted to our care, then we will have, our barns will be filled with plenty. That doesn't mean we'll have plenty of money, but we will have sufficient, and God will, as God entrusts things into our care. Now, two more verses yet in 1 John 3, you don't need to turn there, 17 and 18 says, "But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." From these verses, we're not only to say it, but we are to do it indeed. So deed would say that it's an action. It's something we need to do. We don't just talk about it that we love, but we need to show that, and we need to give an account for that, of the choices and actions that we take. So that's just the, as we think about the God as the owner of all, we are stewards. Now, looking at the Sunday morning free will offering, and I want to look at offering and then free will, and then we want to look at some ways that we can contribute to that. Sunday morning free will offering. So what's an offering? I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says, a thing offered, especially as a gift or contribution. And then it said, a contribution, especially of money given to a church. And that's what we think about most times, is that the Sunday morning offering is given Sunday morning in church. And then, and that's what we think about as we think about a free will offering. But it can be more than that. So the Sunday morning offering, it's for, I've been a deacon for a number of years, and you know, you pay the bill, you pay the electric bill for the lights. Sunday morning, you may have an offering that's for the general fund. Well, that's for the general operations of the church building and the Sunday school literature and whatever else all it may be. So there is that part of it. But I think beyond that, as we there's other things that you as a congregation do. You support, I'm sure you support some missions. You may have you have the school. You have the, maybe you had a building fund at one time, or you had Bible school, or just et cetera, whatever it is. Congregational needs that come up. And I think that's what they were looking at here when I was given this topic, was what do we do with the Sunday morning offering? It's a practice that is part of our worship service. We lift the offering sometime during the Sunday morning service. So, and this is to be a free will offering. It is a voluntary donation, a voluntary gift that we give to in the offering for the deacon to then distribute and do with whatever. It may be for some, for widows. It may be for any other needs that the congregation has. But I think beyond, we're talking, the offering, we're thinking about finances, we're thinking about money. But beyond that, I think it's also we can be giving of our time. We can be volunteering our time to do God's work. Tithing was a Mosaic, in the Mosaic, was required by the Mosaic law in the Judaic tradition. In the Old Testament, there was a tithe. There was a 10% that was to be given, and that was an obligation that they had. In the New Testament, it is more of a free will offering, directed by the Spirit. And and we'll look at this towards the end there, but should be more than the 10%. All depends what all we include in that. So tithing was required, and that was something that was in the Old Testament. It was something that was done. It was an obligation that they had. New Testament giving in the Sunday morning offering is still an appropriate form of worship that deepens our worship experience. I think our Sunday morning offering helps us to build, it should help us to build brotherhood. It should help us in our congregational life. The church down through the years has continued to give. We've continued to give in the offering basket. And there's many blessings that are associated with that practice. We use the envelope system so that you don't know, your left hand doesn't know what your right hand does, or your brother doesn't know what you're doing, what you are giving. Matthew 6. I want to look at a couple verses in Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. There it talks about, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So there is a way to to do it and not proclaim or just broadcast what you're doing. And there's a way that you can give in the Sunday morning offering through the envelope system or whatever you use. There was a man, I read a book on, it was a man in Honduras, and his name was Edwin. He was about 70 years old, and he had a joyful spirit about himself. And everyone loved Edwin. He was an energetic grandpa, and he lived in the mountain ridges in Honduras there. And he faithfully attended church and was often the first one there, even in spite of walking for an hour long walk. And he had a deep appreciation for the Sunday morning worship service. He was a faithful member. And he had missed a couple Sundays. After he had missed two Sunday mornings in a row, the pastor was concerned about him, went to visit him and asked him, he said, "Are you discouraged?" And he said, "You know, we missed you at church. Is there something wrong?" He said, no. He said, I'm not discouraged. I just don't have any money to put in the offering Sunday morning." And he was kind of embarrassed about that. He said, "You know, it's a poor season right now, and I have hungry mouths to feed from June to September, and I just don't have no money to put in the offering." And the pastor reassured him and said, don't worry about that. We want you to come anyway, even if you don't have something to put in the Sunday morning in money in the offering." And Edwin happily attended church again, and his zeal for God was very contagious to them. So the point is, to Edwin, the part of Edwin's worship experience included putting something in the offering. And he couldn't fulfill that responsibility that he had. And he thought, well, you know, maybe then, you know, he shouldn't show up for services because he didn't have nothing to put in. We would say, well, that's maybe going a little overboard. But him giving to the Sunday morning offering, him giving to the brotherhood, I think was very, very important to him, that he would give and he would have something to share. And so I just thought it was a good example of somebody that was committed. And there is some value in the Sunday morning free will offering and our responsibility to that. And we want to talk about teaching that to our children at a very young age, that we would do that. This is a free will offering that we are giving. And turn to 1 Corinthians 6. There's the just one verse I want to read there. As we think about giving a free will offering, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2, it gives us a little bit of direction. 1 Corinthians 16. That's not the right verse. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Here's a formula for giving. And I won't spend much time in this, but we're thinking about, we have the offering, we give, and now we are to do, it's to be a free will offering. It's to be given freely. 1 Corinthians 16, 2, there's 3 points here for the formula for giving. The first one is, number one is upon the first day of the week. That formula, that would be giving regularly. Upon the first day of the week, when you gather together, give. Give regularly. And then the second one is, let every one of you lay by him in store. Do it systematically. Give regularly. And the second point is, do it systematically. And the third one is, as God hath prospered him. Or proportionately, as God has prospered you. So you give regularly. You give the first day of the week, you give regularly. You give systematically. Let everyone you lay by him in store, and then as God hath prospered you. So as we think about this free will offering, we are giving to God. Now, 2 Corinthians 9, another two verses there. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7, he's the principles in giving here. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There you have it on your up front here. God loveth a cheerful giver. So he's telling us here, every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. We're not to do it, we're not to give grudgingly. Sunday morning when the offering basket is passed, we should be giving willingly. We should be giving out of our voluntarily or freely. It needs to be given to the Lord. Give freely to the Lord, spontaneously, willingly, voluntarily, abundantly, and plentifully. And we won't take the time to look at all of them, but we are to be giving freely to the work of the Lord. If we want to receive the blessing, we don't give grudgingly. We don't give out of the, we're to give cheerfully. Freely given to the Lord, to the work of the Lord, to the church, to the ministry, to missions. There's many different ways that we can do that. Given as the Spirit gives you direction. In the New Testament today, it's not, we are to give freely. We are to give as the Spirit gives us direction. And the Spirit will give different individuals, different, to support different types of different offerings or different organizations. So I think there's something about the Sunday morning offering that builds brotherhood as we have commitment to the needs of the local congregation. You know, there's needs that come up in the local body, and we are to be giving. We're not to be giving, we're to be, first of all, giving to the local congregation, not out there supporting all kinds of other things. We can do that as well. That's okay, but our first commitment is to the local congregation, to the Sunday morning offering. And that will help us to build brotherhood as we do that. There's a lot of good Anabaptist missions that have good results, that are doing great things. Humanitarian aid, you know, educational or medical or whatever it is. You know, CEM or Open Hands or, you know, whatever your mission is, there's all kinds of opportunities out there that are good, and we need to give to them as well. But our first commitment is to our Sunday morning, the local congregation, which is the local body of believers. We must remember that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. One more verse that I want to look at on this part yet is in Deuteronomy 16. Just want to read one verse there. Deuteronomy 16, verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord, thy God, which he hath given thee. So we are responsible to give according to what God has given to us, whether it be our abilities, whether it be our talents, whether we have one or we have five or we have 10. You know the story in the Bible about that. But we need to give an account ourselves of the stewardship for what we have been given, and we are responsible for that. There's a story of Mike and his vow to give. Mike was a man that he had decided he wanted to make a commitment and make a vow that he would give 10% of his income to the Lord, to missions and to the Lord. He called his pastor, and we'll call his pastor Bill. He called him and told him that he should come and pray for him as he makes his commitment, that he wants to give 10% of everything to the Lord. And so he did that. He made his commitment, and for a while he was making $125, so he had to give $12.50 to his offering, and And things progressed for him, and he was making $500 a week, and he would give $50. And business, he got involved in business, and he was making $5,000, and he gave $500. And he moved to another city, and things increased some more, and he was at $10,000 a week, and he was given $1,000 a week. And things were going along quite well. He called his pastor. He called Pastor Bill, the one that he had that had prayed with him, and he wondered if he would come and visit him. He said, "Why, if you come visit him sometime?" He said, "Sure, I'll come visit you." And he gave him the address, and he went to visit him, and he seen this big house and his business, and he showed him all the things that he was involved in, and he said, "Well," he said, "you know, the Lord has blessed you. Been good to you." He said, "Yeah, but," he said, "I can't keep on giving like this." He said, I just can't keep on giving like this. I used to give $1,250, now I got to give $1,000 a month." And he had him there, and he said, I just can't keep going like this. He said, "Could you pray that I could change my vow?" He said, "No, you made that vow. I prayed that you would do this, and I can't pray that God would, that will change the vow. But," he said, "there's one thing I can do." He said, "I can pray that God would dry up your income so that you could afford to give again." He said, I could pray that way if you want me to do that. Well, he didn't want to do that either. But, you know, the point is, why didn't he have enough when he had 10,000? Because he still had 9,000. Before, when he had even 500, he only had 450. And that's what happens too many times in our giving. You know, if we aren't committed to giving when we have little, we won't give when we have more. Because the human nature tends to be selfish and wants to keep things for themselves. I want to talk about four different ways to give. And I give some of this. I got this from Richie Lowry. He had a topic, an Anabaptist financial topic, at a deacon seminar in New York. And someone sent me the connection to it. Well, actually, Lauren Strickler did. He sent a connection to me So this is not new with me. This is back to Richie. There's four ways to give. The first one is token giving. The second one is proportional giving. And the third one is tithe giving. And the fourth one is progressive giving. I'll just take a couple minutes to go over these quickly here. How to give, and there's these four different ways. So token giving is a minimal gift given out of obligation. A lot of people practice token giving. Could be a percent of their income. As their income rises, they'll give more dollars, but the percentage of giving usually gets smaller or drops. As their income goes up, maybe they gave $50, but their income goes up, and if they would keep giving as much as their percentage as they did, it should be $100, but yeah, they'll give more, they'll give 60%, but their percentage goes down. So token giving is a minimal gift given out of obligation. They feel obligated to give. You know, they make excuses. "I'll give more later in life, when I have more. You know, I'll give more. After I pay off my debt, I'll give more." I had people tell me already they didn't, as I did business advising, they don't feel they should give because they have debt. As long as they have debt, they shouldn't give. Well, you can always have debt then too, and you will never give. There's a lot of different excuses. "I pay my mortgage off, then I'll pay." Proportional giving, the second one, proportional giving is I measure how much I give according to what others give. In other words, I'll give, but I'll give proportionally according to what others give. As an example, that would be, say the congregation has, for easy figuring here, congregation, the example I use, congregation has a medical bill, a hospital bill of $100,000. And say he'll figure out, okay, this bill's $100,000. Deacon says we got this medical bill, we need $100,000. And he'll figure out how many members there are. So for easy figuring, there's 100 members. So $100,000, 100 members, I'll give $1,000. So it's $1,000. That's what he'll give. No more, no less. He won't give $105,000. He won't give $950,000. He would feel bad if he wouldn't give $1,000. But $1,000 he'll give. And if his wife's a member, he'll give $2,000. He'll do his share. It's proportional. It's according to what everybody else does. That's how I will give. You know, there's three kinds of people. Those that do more than their share, those that do their share, and those that do less than their share. You know, the 20-80 rule a lot of times applies. And people, you know, 20% do 80% of the work or give 80%. So that's the proportional. He will give. I will give. I will do my part. I will not be a slacker. I'll for sure do my part, but I won't do any more. My obligation's over. The third kind is tithe giving. Tithe giving means you decided what you're going to give, if that's 10% or whatever it is. Probably 10%. You know, that's a tithe in the Old Testament that was done throughout the Old Testament. So tithe giving means to give 10%. God owns everything. We'll give him 10%. We're not going to give him 5%. We'll give 10%. And tithing is taught, and that's practiced by many religious people. I forgot to bring my change along, but I used the illustration of, I said earlier about learning for children to give when they're younger. I think it's important that we have our children give in the Sunday morning offering. Let's say you give them $1 a week, whatever you put the amount in there you want to, but let's say we're going to give them $1 a week. Now, we're not giving children, we're not paying them to do work and things like that. This is so they learn how to handle money, because children need to fulfill their obligations in the home and stuff without thinking they need to be paid for it. So we have a dollar's worth, so we take a dime and we'll put that is automatically, that 10% is set aside, that is put somewhere that they will give that in the Sunday morning offering. And then there's 10 cents for the church offering, there's 60 cents is going to go in savings, and 30 cents will go for spending. And they can buy something, but they need to ask. You know, you ask their parents and stuff maybe they need a tractor or a toy or something like that. The reason you do that is to help your children to form a habit early in their life. If they do that from the time they're 5, 6 years old or whatever it is, they learn to form that habit that they are going to give to this Sunday morning offering and to share in the needs of the congregation. It makes them feel a part of it. And if they'll do that all through while they're under your care and through their teen years, it helps them to form that discipline and that habit, and they won't forget that very, very quickly. So that's the tithe giving. Now, the last one is the progressive giving. And this is where we want to be. Because as I go through life, as I have more, I give more. I will give out of as the Spirit directs. So we need to first of all give ourselves. Give ourselves first of all, and so that we give generously and it comes easy for us to give. We need to learn to give. And it's not, this ain't limited just to money, but it could include our time and other things as well. You know, people want your time. Your time is valuable. And sometimes they don't want just, you know, $10 or something like that. So we are channels to be used by God to his honor and glory. So the big question is, as a progressive giver, the big question is, where should I give? How should I give? And I just have a couple things written down here. First of all, ask God, pray about it. That's what you need to do. And then set priorities in where you give. And there I have four different places of priorities. First of all, is what we were talking about this evening, is your local congregation, your Sunday morning free will offering. That's the first place that you should be giving. That's your first priority as a group. So you build brotherhood and you do things together as a group. You need to, that needs to be your first priority. And then the second one is churches of similar faith and practice, or churches you associate with, maybe missions that different churches support and stuff like that. So that would be your local congregation, and then your other churches that you worship with and practice with and support. And then the third place is charities and missions that are run by conservative Anabaptist people. And I don't have a list of them here or anything like that. But and then the fourth is secular charities. I think we do need to give to the, if you have a volunteer fire company or ambulance or something like that, or you want to give to some medical research, some cancer research, or there's different handicap places, things like that. I think it's okay to give there, but that needs to be a modest amount. You know, the 1, 2, 3, 4 down through, it's kind of a little bit, that's where the percentage of what you give should go to as well. The fourth one should be the smallest amount that where you give to. Your local churches first, other similar faith and practice, and then some missions, charity missions, different things that are run by Anabaptist people. But then if you give to the fourth place, the secular charities, you need to know them organizations of what is going to overhead or what is going to research. There's some of them that 97% of it goes to overhead to pay salaries and things like that, and only 3% goes to research. So there's no need to give blindly. There's no need to, you need to choose carefully where you give when you start giving outside of your church and your missions that you support. Some people want to give to medical needs, medical research. Others will give to, you know, God lays different needs on different people's hearts. Some people want to give to the CEM for humanitarian aid, and that's fine. Others want to give more for missions that are doing some mission work in other countries. So God does not lay the same type of need on everybody's heart the same. So it's not like we all need to be given to the same thing exactly alike. But know the where you're giving. Don't just blindly give to just anywhere, but be a progressive giver. And God loves a cheerful giver. God loves one that does it voluntarily. And there's, in closing, there's three verses in Matthew 6. Says, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's not just pile up the things that God has given to us. If God has blessed you with extra to give, do that out of a free will. do it voluntarily and do it cheerfully. Find the blessing of giving to God, and find the joy that you can experience as you give, and the Lord will bless you for it. Thank you.